Praise God, saints. You do not have a sermon outline in your bulletin with me today. I think I was trying to see how hard we can really work at keeping up. See if we can all stay awake. And I'm going to ask you all a quiz at the end, so pay attention. You know, saints, we started into a special campaign 2 weeks ago when we celebrated our church anniversary. Does anyone know the name of our campaign? All right, let's try that one more time. Striving for excellence, excelling in giving. Woo! You see, this is why we are taking our time, saints. And we are taking our time going through this process of learning what we are doing and what this campaign is all about. Now, Pastor Toby, we started with our kickoff with Pastor Rick on our anniversary. Then Pastor Toby carried us on by talking about excellence in giving, how it touches God. All right. And now today, I'm going to be talking about excellence in giving, how it touches others. And then Pastor Rick is going to wrap us up with excellence in giving, how it touches me, ourselves. See, that's why we're taking our time, saints, because we know this is a lot of information for us to gather together, and we're all trying to figure this out and work together. But it is going to be so, saints. God is going to provide for us. So what is our sermon title again? Excellence in Giving, How It Touches Others. Let us pray. Gracious God, creator of the entire world, you that walked in the garden. Gracious God, you who took your finger and placed it upon the earth and written in the sand. You who are the one who walked on water and calmed the storm. Gracious God, we seek you right now. We would pray, Lord Jesus, that you would remove the blocks upon our eyes, that you would take out anything in our ears, Lord, that you would lift up our hearts, Lord, that we could know you better, that we can understand your plan, your will, and your purpose for our lives. Gracious God, we know that you're taking us to a new level, that we're moving, that we're getting ready for something awesome and amazing. But we need you, Lord. We need you to help us to understand. So we pray your blessings upon this word, that we all would be edified, that we all would understand exactly what it is you desire of us. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. You know, saints, as we've been beginning our new campaign series, we've been reflecting upon, in a lot of ways, what we did before, 10 years ago. And I thought about what we did before. We studied a lot. We learned a lot. And one of the campaign, part of the campaign series that we used then was the 40 Days of Purpose. Do you all remember that with Rick Warren? And I remember learning a lot from Rick Warren. And he had this really nice book, the 40 Days of Purpose. Anybody still got their book? Yeah. Good. I want you to take that book out. And it's this chapter in that book that talks about why we were created. And we were created for service. Remember that? And he has this really nice passage around 200, page 227. It says, and I kind of modified it. It says, I was not created just to consume resources. I was not created to eat, to breathe, and to just take up space. God designed me to make a difference with my life. He went on to say, while there are many best-selling books that offer advice on how to get the most out of life, that is not the reason that God made me. I was created to add to life on this earth, not to just take from it. God wants me to give something back into the lives of others. When I went back and I looked at that and I remembered that, I was like, I remember learning all about that. God created us not to just be consumers, but to be givers. Amen? So when we're talking today about giving, we need to stop and think, how does our giving touch others? Sometimes we get so busy thinking about how is this going to improve my life, how is this going to affect my life, that we forget that there is someone else out there that's going to benefit from my gift. Amen. You know, we're going to be talking a lot today about how our giving touches others. But I wanted to begin with things that people who receive our gifts may never know. There are some things that people who receive our gifts, they may never know about us. Some things like they might not know how afraid we are. You see, saints, I realize that when we started that campaign, when we did that campaign 10 years ago, I was afraid. I was like, Lord, you want us to give how much money? You want us to do what to this building? It caused me to kind of shiver in my boots a little bit. I was afraid to think, God, could we really do that? With this just small group of people, could we do all of that? You see, saints, people never realize just how afraid we are to help them. People don't realize that we are afraid of being used. Anybody feel like being used today? We are afraid of being taken advantage of. I know I don't want to give my dollars to be taken advantage of. People don't even realize, saints, that even if we get beyond the fear and we're not afraid, they don't even realize that, saints, most of us truly do have a heart to give. Most of us want to give. Most of us want to help, saints. But those folks that are out there, those others, they don't even know those things about us. But saints, when we decide to take the sacrifice, when we decide to work together in partnership and give to others, those other lives are forever changed. Forever changed. So I'm going to be talking to us today about how our giving can touch someone. There's five ways. We're going to go through all five of our fingers. Five ways that someone else's life can be touched by our giving. The number one way is that when we decide to give, saints, someone is introduced to God. When we decide to give, someone can get to know Jesus Christ for the very first time. You see, saints, we as Christians, when we come to church every Sunday, some of us have been coming to church all of our lives. Anybody been here all of your life? Some of us have been here all of our lives. And we think that because we know who Jesus is, we think that because we hear the name of Jesus Christ every day, we think that because we're so comfortable with God that everyone else in America is, saints. Well, saints, we all know that's just not true. We do not have to go all the way to another country to figure out that there are people in this world that don't know the name of Jesus Christ. You know, saints, you all this past summer, you all took the risk in sacrificing your giving in many ways. Many of you contributed it to the summer camp. Some of you contributed to Men of Arms, the first camp program for Men of Arms. Some of you contributed to Vacation Bible School. And you didn't know right then and there that you were placing someone else in the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ for the very first time. You never knew that somebody was going to walk through the door who didn't know the name of Jesus. I didn't know, saints. I was upstairs in one of the classrooms, sitting there talking to the kids like I normally do. And I said, well, let me tell you a little about Jesus Christ. One of the little kids said, Jesus, who? Who is Jesus Christ? I was like, whoa. Did the ground just shake? Someone asked who was Jesus Christ? You mean you don't know? But she honestly didn't know. And when we decided to take the sacrifice to give to those ministries, we did not know that we would have the opportunity to introduce someone to Jesus Christ for the very first time, saints. For the very first time, right here at Glenville New Life Community Church. Saints, it happens all of the time, and we don't realize it, that through our giving, we introduce others to Christ. You know, saints, many of us participated in the Least of These project. You remember the Least of These ministries? And one of our first projects was to raise money to buy wheelchairs. We never knew that those wheelchairs would be used one day so that someone else could meet Christ. You see, there's this woman. We all hear about her all the time. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tata. And she's a quadriplegic. She lost the use of all her lower limbs when she was a young girl. And she has been confined to a wheelchair ever since. And her greatest goal in life is that others that need wheelchairs would have a wheelchair. Instead of being all sad and moaning and groaning, she said, how can I give? How can I inspire other people to give? And so she tells these stories all the time, true stories of how they go into these countries and they take these wonderful wheelchairs and they say, we are so glad to be able to help you with this wheelchair. But let me tell you what, someone else is waiting to meet you that can help you in many, many, many more ways than we can with this wheelchair. And she has the opportunity to introduce thousands of people to Jesus Christ. So that is our number one way of how our giving touches others, by introducing them to Jesus Christ. So what's our number two way that our giving can touch someone else? Our giving can touch someone else's life by helping them to increase their faith, increasing our faith. You see, there are already many people who know Jesus Christ, but God is calling them to grow deeper, to trust more, to increase their faith. And we just never know exactly how God is using our giving to change someone's life. In our Old Testament reading today, we met Elijah, the prophet Elijah, and the widow, right? Most of us are very familiar with this story. When we initially look at this story, we think about the widow. She is the giver. And we think about, what is she receiving? But I want us today to think about Elijah the prophet, the receiver. He was the other person in this story that was receiving something from the widow. And what did he get out of it? So since we're looking at Elijah, and Elijah is coming upon this widow who we know is very, very poor. She doesn't even have a loaf of bread. All she has is a little cup of flour and a little bit of oil. She goes outside. She doesn't even have wood in her house. She has to go outside and scrounge around on the ground and look for little sticks to make a fire to bake some bread later on. So she is on her way to make her last meal for herself and her son when Elijah comes upon her. And we can see how God touched her. But I again ask you the question, how did God touch Elijah through her giving? You see, when the widow was standing there in her poverty, she wasn't thinking about Elijah that day. She got out of her bed thinking, this is about to be my last meal. I am going out to get some sticks to come home to make the last meal for me and my son. She was not thinking at all about Elijah and Elijah's faith and who Elijah was. But here he comes right into her life. And we can all think, what is God doing for her, the giver? But what is God doing for Elijah? What is God doing for Elijah? You see, when the widow and Elijah encountered each other, the widow didn't know anything about Elijah's past. She did not know that Elijah had been sitting by a brook that had dried up and that Elijah had been fed by ravens. She didn't know anything about that. She did not know that Elijah had been walking all this distance just to meet her. She did not know that. She also didn't know what Elijah's later story was going to be. She didn't know that God was going to use Elijah later on to defeat the prophets of Baal. She didn't know anything about Elijah and how God was changing Elijah's life. You see, because that was part of the story too, that Elijah was growing in faith. Elijah was this servant of God, and God said, Elijah, I'm going to take you today, and I'm going to help you increase your faith. Now, Elijah, trust me, saints, he did not say to God, God, please help me to increase my faith today. He probably didn't make that prayer to say, God, I want you to place me beside a dry brook and trust you to feed me with some ravens. He probably didn't say that kind of stuff. He said, God, use me, but he did not say, feed me with a bunch of birds. So Elijah is coming along, and God says to Elijah, I am going to increase your faith. You know me, but I want you to know me more. You trust me, but I want you to trust me more. You understand me, but I want you to understand me more. Yeah. So Elijah is coming along here, and God is saying, I'm going to increase your faith. And he said, I'm going to increase your faith because after you sat by that dried up brook and you didn't have anything to eat and you had to depend on me to send birds to feed you, now I'm going to send you to this widow who doesn't have anything. Now, the commentators have said that there were a lot of widows during this time, saints. And some of them were widows that had just a little bit of money. Some of them were actually wealthy widows. So I'm thinking Elijah probably said, well, Lord, you're going to send me to a widow. Please send me to the one that's got some money. Or please send me to the one that's got a little bit of money. But God said, I'm not sending you to the one that's got some money. I'm not sending you to the one that's got a little bit of money. I'm sending you to the one that has nothing. Nothing. She doesn't even have sticks in her house to make a fire. I'm sending you to her because I'm about to increase your faith. And when I send you to her, you're going to see me feed you. You're going to see me feed this woman. You're going to see me feed her son. But Elijah had to take that step of faith that God was trying to do something in his life. And you see, right now, we have to take a step of faith that God is trying to do something in our lives. You see, because we, as the pastoral staff, the pastoral team, we are all together in this. You, us, we're all together. And we realize that it seems odd that in the worst economic time since the Great Depression, when people are losing their jobs, when the price of gas is crazy, food is going up, no one's getting raises, it seems so odd that God would say, I want you to make a bigger sacrifice. I want you to trust me that I'm trying to increase your faith. I want you to trust me that I'm trying to show you something that you've never seen before. I want you to be like the prophet Elijah and go in the strangest place to this woman who has nothing and watch me work. So our giving can help to increase other people's faith. How else can our giving touch? Number three, our giving can help someone to become what God is calling them to be. When we were all born, God said he knew us. He knew our names. And he had already decided every single thing we were going to be. Praise the Lord. But along our paths, we all know that we need somebody to help us get to where we are today. The widow did not know that by helping Elijah, that Elijah would in turn become one of the greatest prophets for God. She had no idea. Saints, have you ever thought about the people that helped Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.? Do you think about the teachers that helped him? Do you think about the janitors that made sure to pick up the dirt he dropped? Do you think about all of those people, the mailmen that delivered his mail? Do you think about all the people who gave for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? What about Sojourner Truth or President Barack Obama? All of the people that gave so that they could become who God intended them to be. You know, saints, when I think about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it was some folks right here at Glenville who gave so that he could have. It was some folks when they decided that Dr. King should come here and speak in Ohio on equality and freedom. It was some folks that sat right here in this very sanctuary and said, I'm going to give my $5. I'm going to give my $2. I'm going to give my $30, my $100, whatever it was, the sacrifice, so that he could come and be right here and speak in Ohio. Right here that happened. And it was because some people said, I am going to trust God in my giving so that someone else can be all that God intended them to be. You know, saints, I think about all of our young people. And I think about all the many places they are right now. We have saints all the way in California. We have them down south in Atlanta, Georgia. They are in Kentucky. They are all the way across the other world into Afghanistan. And we think sometimes, Lord, why do you keep raising these kids up and then you send them off to somewhere else? But we don't see the big picture that God sees. Sending out young people that know the truth of Christ, that understand scripture like no other, saints, that have been taught by our very own pastors who will not bend to the world's opinion. God is strategically placing these young people all throughout America, all throughout Afghanistan, saints. And it is because we decided to be faithful in our giving. You know, saints, I think sometimes it must be real hard. I remember when I was young and I didn't realize that I was trusting other people to give me some. And I think about our young people, they're going to college, they're going to law school, they're going to medical school, they're in the service, and they are trusting us in our giving. They're trusting that when they're in California and they need something, they can call right here to Glenville New Life, and they can say, I'm in trouble, I need some help, I can't afford my books, I don't have a plane ticket home, can you help me? Our giving is so important. Our young people are striving to rise to excellence, striving to rise to poverty, above poverty, saints. And it's because our faithfulness and our giving that we can help them to be all that God intended them to be. You know, when Pastor Toby preached last week, she talked about the love languages. Remember that? She talked about words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gifts, and physical touch. And she shared with us how all of these are important aspects of our giving. We cannot have one without the other. Every single one is important. Let me show you how, saints. You see, we can pour all of our dollars, all of our money into a few young people. But then we can tear them down with our words. We can tear them down by saying, you know what, I know a little something about you. I heard something about you yesterday. Or I saw this and that and the other. And you know, you're not all you cracked up to be. Saints, we need to get better here at Glenville in a lot of ways. And our physical, financial giving. And our words of affirmation. And our physical touch. And our acts of service, saints, in our quality time. It's not just one we're working on. We're working on all five. We're working on all five. Saints, because you see, we're all in this together. This is a partnership. And if I'm over here pouring my money into this young person over here, and someone's over here tearing this young person down, saints, we are fighting against each other. So it's all together that our giving, our investment in our people, young, older, whoever it is, our investment in people makes a difference. Makes a difference. So we know that our giving can touch others by helping them to become all that they can be, saints. Our number four way that our giving touches other people's lives is that it saves them from death. Saves them from dying. Absolutely saves them from dying. You know, many of us are familiar with the story in the Bible of Nabal and Abigail. Remember that? The fool. His name means the fool. But Nabal was a rich man, and he had the opportunity to give to one of God's servants, David. He had this opportunity to invest in the kingdom. He had this opportunity to invest in the kingdom. He said, why should I give out my meat to these people that I don't even know? And we, as your pastoral staff, we realize that sometimes you ask that question. Why should you give your money to people you don't even know? You don't even see. But I say to you, saints, that we give because of what Christ has done for us. You know, none of us ever realized 10 years ago that we would be helping people all the way in India. None of us ever realized 10 years ago that we would be working with the Haitians when they suffered this earthquake, saints. None of us realized, saints, how when the Indian doctor called for help for his wife because she was in the hospital, that it was because of the faithfulness in our giving that her life was saved. Because of Jesus, amen. Because of Jesus. Our giving can touch someone by truly, truly saving their life. Sometimes the sacrifice is so great, saints. Sometimes our sacrifice puts the other person before ourselves. You know, when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was just learning to cross the street, saints. You know how little kids, you don't really watch us playing with some toys, and walked down into the street, and I went to go pick up something. When I stood back up, it was this van just pouring at me, just so fast. And I stood there like, oh, what am I supposed to do? It was like a deer with the headlights. I just stood there. It was pretty bad. I could still feel the wind of the van. It was that close. And this stranger put his life before mine. And he came up and he whisked me. And he did not know. He never, ever knew. I don't even know his name. I never got to say thank you to him. He didn't know me from anybody. But he stepped up and he sacrificed himself so that I could live. And he never knew. He didn't know when he pushed me out of the way. He whisked me out of the way. He didn't know if he was going to get himself hurt. He didn't know what he was going to lose. He didn't know if he was going to suffer by trying to help me. But he heard the call of God and he answered. I said, look, there's one of my children who needs you. Her life is at stake. And he answered the call. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Saints, our giving can impact people in a whole bunch of positive ways. But it can also impact them negatively, saints, because when we make the decision not to give and not to sacrifice, saints, people suffer. When that man whisked me out of the way, he could have made the decision not to sacrifice and I would not be here. Saints, I think about our New Testament scripture reading, the rich young ruler. Jesus said, give away everything that you have and give to the poor and follow me. And the rich young ruler said, I just can't do that. And I think about all of those poor people. All of those poor people who continue to suffer because this ruler who had so much could not have the heart to give. Saints, did you all see that article, that news show about Melinda and Bill Gates? It was on TV last Sunday. And I watched it because I knew I was going to be doing this sermon on giving. And it spoke about how they had decided to give away 90% of their income. Billions of dollars. They are helping people in India. They are helping people with HIV and AIDS. They are helping people who have nothing, saints, in this world. They are helping so many people. And I thought, and they even made the decision that they weren't going to leave this big, large inheritance to their children. Bill Gates said, well, my kids might want to discuss that with me when I get a little older. When they get a little older, but for right now, that's what it is. But saints, I was sitting there listening to them talking. They gave away all these billions of dollars, saints. And I was so happy that they did, and I didn't want to complain, but then when I heard how much they had left, I was like, you still can say the word billions in your bank account. And I think about that widow who gave out of her poverty. Yes, they're giving. Yes, they are sacrificing. Yes, they are giving and helping many, many millions of people, saints. But with all those billions that they still got, they can help some more. And that's us, saints. Yes, we're giving. Yes, we're sacrificing. We have more to give. We have more to give. So, saints, when we make the decision not to give, our life touches others in a negative way in that they can suffer. You know, years ago, no one would have thought that a church that had about 200 members, in it, would be able to touch the lives of over 2 million people. Do y'all know what church that is? Okay. When we did that first campaign 10 years ago, I never in my wildest imagination thought that God was going to use us, these little bitty dust in the ground who we can't even be seen from the stars above. He was going to use us to touch over 2 million people. When Pastor Rick told us that we had had 2 million people come to our website, I was like, what? Because of our faithfulness and our giving, 2 million people can come to a website that is free, that is telling them the truth of the gospel, that is not going to be unashamed to claim Jesus Christ. 2 million people can get Bible study lessons. 2 million people can go on and see live sermons all the time. All the time be because of our sacrifice to give, saints. And those are just the people on the internet. When I think about the thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people that we have touched right here in our own space. And you know how I figured out the number, saints? Because every time we have a funeral, this place is packed. For one family. Up and downstairs. So that means all of us, if we all brought our families all together, that number goes up into the thousands or maybe even the hundreds of thousands. And if we add on the history and the legacy of everyone that came before us, of all the people that God has used us to touch and allowed us to be a part of their lives. God is good, saints. But the only way it happened is because some saints decided to make some sacrifices on behalf of the kingdom of God. You know, saints, God did not place us here on earth. He did not tell us, be born, go to sleep, you're going to wake up in heaven. Didn't say that. Jesus did not place us here on earth and say, I want you to live a life of sin, and then when you get to your very last breath, I want you to say the sinner's prayer, and you're going to be okay. Didn't do that. Jesus did not place us on this earth so that we'd all go about our own business and just worry about ourselves. Each and every one of us, and we learned this 10 years ago in the 40 Days of Purpose, each and every one of us has been designed by God, to make a difference in the lives of others. And each of us have further been designed to make a difference in the kingdom of God. So, saints, when we think about our giving and how it touches others, when we think about all the things that we have learned, not just in the past 10 years, but in the past 21 years, and the past 30 years, and the past 50 years, and the past 70 years, however long we have been on this earth, when we think about all that we have learned, when we've seen all that God has done through us, saints, it's time for us to stop just sitting there. It's time for us to get moving, to get ready. To put everything that God has given us into action, saints. God is calling us to take our giving to a new level. A new level in Jesus Christ to make a difference in the lives of others. Let's pray. God, you are so good. You are so amazing, Lord Jesus. And we never ever thought that we were special enough, thought that we were unique enough, thought that we were deserving of us, that you would look down upon us and you would see us, and you would choose us to be your servants, and you would take exactly what we had, and that one sin over, you would take exactly what we had, exactly what we were willing to sacrifice on your behalf, and you would use that to change other people's lives forever. Gracious God, we are so humbled that you're ready to move us again. We're a little nervous, Lord Jesus, but we're excited because we know that you are going to open doors, not just to millions, Lord, but to billions of people who will get to know you because a few hundred folks at Glenville decided to be faithful. Gracious God, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we give you all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.